James and Sit Down on BBC Radio Sheffield. You're listening to Paulette Edwards, and it's that time of the year, isn't it, when it's expected that you make a list of resolutions which, a few months down the line, have probably fallen by the wayside, if you're anything like me. So is there a point in making any, and if you do make some, and if you do want to change something in particular in your life, how can you make sure that this is the year that it actually happens? Well, here to give me a little bit more information, to give us all a bit of support and advice, are two life coaches, not one, but two, Maddie Malhotra and Deborah Cundy, all my experts on BBC Radio Sheffield. And to speak to them, you can text us, 81333, or you can give us a call on 011 4279 6699. So, Maddie, I'm going to start off with you. Happy New Year to you. How do you perceive this time of year, then, in terms of making changes to your life? Because people often choose January, don't they, to do that?
Yes, Happy New Year to you too and all the listeners. The first thing comes to my mind is, why wait till New Year's Eve to make resolutions? I mean, all the successful people I've met in my life from all around the world and read their biographies, no one waits for a particular day to make goals. So goals can be made anytime you wish, and they have to be goals and not just wishes which people want to come true. So there is a difference between goals and wishes.
Right.
So
let's talk about goals and wishes then. Let's focus in on that a bit. If I was setting myself a goal, you know, I have a wish to, for example, maybe, you know, everyone wants to lose a bit of weight,
yes,
don't they?
Yes.
Most, not everybody, but some people do. What about that then? How would I separate that out into whether it's a wish or a goal?
Right. Just saying I want to lose weight, not writing it down, not thinking of what steps I do need to take, and making specific, you know, things like, I would go to gym every day for half an hour for these many days, and then, you know, measure it on the way. That's one way to do it. And other way is, oh, I wish I could lose weight this year. And then after a week or so in January, you give it up. So goals need to be measurable. It need to be timely. It has to have all the details which you would need. But the problem, one problem with that is, usually people would come and say, oh, yes, I've read about SMART goals. And I put SMART goals, so I'm specific, I'm measurable, I'm timely and everything. However, we forget that we are emotional beings. So if there isn't any emotional reward attached to your goals, you may not achieve them. You may not be motivated enough. So you also need to tell that when I achieve this much, so if I lose, say, 3 pounds, then I would feel happy. And who else could be happy with me? And this is how I would see myself. My self-image would be better. So you have more reasons to lose weight.
Right.
And secondly, you need to reward yourself with every small step.
Okay, and we'll talk about rewards in a moment, because I think that's, you know, a bit of a carrot. That's something. Obviously, it won't be a carrot, because that's not much of a reward. But anyway, Deborah's with me as well. Deborah Cundy, she is also a life coach. You became a life coach after losing loads of weight. That was one of the things,
yes,
that you did, wasn't it?
I actually appeared on your radio show earlier this year to talk about my weight loss and the work that I do with Weston Park and how it linked together. And as you know, I lost altogether 12 stone in weight. And yeah, it was something on the back of that really made me think I'd like to help and start and help and support other people.
And what was interesting about you was that you did what a lot of people will start to do at this time of year. You joined a Slimmers Club, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I mean, I'd actually started to lose weight in my early 20s, and it was something that triggered me off to actually do that. It weren't January when I started, like most people tend to do. It weren't a Monday morning, like some people think, yeah, I'll start Monday morning. All the usual patterns of what everybody seems to follow. So it was something that happened, and I'm a great believer in people have to get to that stage before they actually start to make a change.
So what happened to you then? Let's have that trigger.
Well, basically, I actually was invited to an event in Sheffield with my partner, and I needed a really nice outfit. And I was excessively overweight.
How much overweight were you? How much did you weigh?
I was over 20 stone. Mm. I was probably about a 22, 24 dress. And at that time, you know, you were very limited to where you could go and buy nice dresses, nice frocks. And that was the reality check, to be honest with you, Paula.
And do you think we need a trigger then in order to get us to do something? Because, I mean, I think, you know, the new year is a kind of trigger, but is it a strong enough trigger then to get people really motivated to achieve their goals?
I'm a great believer. I mean, the most successful people that achieve goals, 90% of people that achieve the goals, is because of the why, not of the how. It's why do they want to reach that goal, whether it's they want to lose weight or they want to get a career development. They've got to understand why they want that. Why is that so important to them? And a goal has to be, like Maddie said, it has to be smart, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and timely.
Okay. So that's an acronym, SMART, isn't it? S-M-A-R-T.
Yeah, SMART.
Okay, so we'll focus on that. We'll focus on these triggers and this why that you're saying. Because SMART is kind of how, isn't it? Your trigger, you're saying, should be why. I'm talking to two life coaches on BBC Radio Sheffield this afternoon. You can talk to them if you want to. If you've got a resolution or a goal that you'd like to achieve in 2014, whatever it is, get in touch and we'll see if we can give you some advice that's going to help you to achieve it this year. It's 81333 to text. It's 0114 279 6699 to give us a call. And yesterday on the text, I think it was Sue, I think it was, in Healy, got in touch to say that her goal this year was to meet more people. So we'll talk about that as well with our life coaches on BBC Radio Sheffield. We'll have Gladys Knight and the Pips, Baby Don't Change Your Mind, because we're not going to change our minds up once we set our goals.
No,
we're not. Gladys Knight and the Pips, Baby Don't Change Your Mind, BBC Radio Sheffield. You're listening to Paulette. I've got Maddie Malhotra and Deborah Cundy with me. They're both life coaches and they're here today to talk about the ways in which we can achieve our goals. Are you so uncomfortable then with the resolutions, the word New Year resolutions, Deborah? How do you feel about someone setting New Year resolutions? Is that all right?
I'm a great believer that if you're waiting for the right moment to start, you'll never begin. And I think it is one of these things that, you know, it's new year, new start. People do reflect, you know, on the past and what they want to achieve. And it's estimated that only 3% of the population have organised a life plan and a plan of where they'd like to be, and more people spend more time planning the annual summer holiday than actually the goals in life and where they want to be in life. And that's quite a daunting fact, really.
But we're pressed for time, aren't we? At the end of the day, we're practical and we want to make sure we eat, make sure our families are healthy, make sure that we do things, you know, achieve things during our day. Is it not too much to expect to set all these goals on top of all that then, Mally?
I think, to be honest with you, Paulette, everybody will be setting a goal and achieving a goal in their life every single day. They probably just don't realise they're doing it. For example, everyone goes shopping on a Saturday morning. That is a goal. They do it and they achieve it. As daft as that may sound, that is something that they've set out to do and they've actually achieved it. So why can't they look to the bigger picture and look at the other areas that they'd like to focus on?
For long-term goals rather than just short-term and weekly. Look at long-term goals, break them down to weekly goals and achieve them. You don't need too much time. It's just like if you have to do, say, meditation, or you just need to relax some time for yourself or read a self-help book. It just needs like 15 minutes every day. It's not too much. And if you don't do it, then you don't go anywhere.
15 minutes a day, you're reckoning we should give to it?
Yeah.
Not just at New Year's then, all year?
All year, every day.
So how does that look then? Do we write things down? Do we talk to people about it?
Well, I actually look at it, there's four types of goals. You've got day-to-day goals. For example, like Maddie said, you know, you might say, I'm going to do a couple of hours of reading every day, or I'm going to practice the piano.
Hmm.
So that's like a day-to-day sort of a smaller goal. Then, you know, you may be looking at, for example, if you want to get a healthier lifestyle, this could be that your daily input may be that you have a daily workout of 20 minutes a day, or it may be I am going to drink 2 litres of water a day. You know, so it's chipping away. And like I've said to you before, when I first came here, Paulette, when I had 7 stone to lose, that was a daunting thing. But I broke it down into smaller goals. And then you've got goals that are like weekly or monthly goals. For example, I'm going to declutter my office. I'm going to contact old friends. You know, that's a process. People need to sort of look at what's getting them at the minute. What's really getting them to the point what they need to look at. Goals can be many different things.
And cover lots of different subjects as well, can't they?
Rightly so.
So can I just talk to you, Maddie, about... you said that people do something wrong when they're actually setting their New Year resolutions. What do we do wrong, then? Have we covered that yet?
Yes. It's just wishing things to happen. That's what people do. And I think the problem is, as you asked, resolutions or goals, what's the right word? With resolutions, we already have a definition that they don't come true for most of us. So rather than saying goals, which you need to write down and follow through, I think is more positive and more doable than saying resolutions, you set them and then you forget them before end of January.
Right.
And what I agree with Deborah. What people really do is they make super ambitious resolutions, too big, and then feel defeated after a few days because our minds can't take that big. So you need to break them down into smaller chunks and achieve them on the way. And this is how you could, you know, achieve a big goal. And yes, we need to write down. We need to write down each and every specific thing, how we would achieve it. Do I need someone else to help me to achieve it? Do I need to learn something to achieve it? It could be different things. But it's not like a 5-minute thing that, oh, I need to lose weight. How much? Say a stone. And that's it. No, and don't give yourself a target. I'll go to the gym from tomorrow and work out an hour. I would rather start with 10 minutes tomorrow, stay motivated, increase it gradually, and then go to an hour and keep it going on.
It's difficult, though, because if you don't see any results from what you're doing straight away, you feel a little bit like you don't want to carry on, don't you? You don't want to continue with it.
I do agree. I can see your point, Paulette, and I'm sure, you know, the listeners can as well, especially if it's a weight situation, and I can have total empathy with that. But I think it's absolutely crucial that, going back to the goals and the SMART objectives, is that they are achievable and they're in your control. And what I mean by that is, if someone said to me, I'd like to run the London Marathon next year under 4 hours, and there was 25 stone and smoke 60 cigarettes a day, how realistic is that we're doing it next year? I'm not saying they would never do it. Mm. I mean, but you've got to be realistic. And in your control, another example would be win the lottery.
Deborah and Maddie are my guests on BBC Radio Sheffield. They're life coaches. We're talking about the goals that you may have set for yourself in 2014. Vinna's got in touch with us from Gleedless, and he says, why do people need to be told how to run their lives? We're going to answer that question after this.
BBC Radio Sheffield.
It's all I want to do, so won't you dance? I'm standing here with you, but they don't come here. All the lovers.
Oh, I love that, Kylie Minogue, and I love that song, All the Lovers. BBC Radio Sheffield, you're listening to Paulette. I've got 2 live coaches with me on BBC Radio Sheffield this afternoon. And let's not, you know, make any bones about the fact that a live coach will charge you a significant sum of money an hour to help you to sort your life out. And we had a message earlier from Vinny Gleedless. He says, why do people need to be told how to run their lives? What would you say to that then? Why do people need to be told how to run their lives? Aren't we doing a good enough job as it is, Deborah?
I think everyone has a choice. Everyone can carry on doing what they want to do, and they may be happy the way they live their lives. Some people sometimes, I believe, don't realise that they could be more, they could achieve more. They've got so much they could, you know, aspire to, and it may be that something's holding them back.
So what type of people tend to come to you, Maddie, then?
It's usually,
and pay £40 a session, or however much it is a session, to have their lives changed?
Usually, they're individuals to small business owners. It depends on individuals. Usually, I would say women between age 25 and 50 are the main clients I look after, looking from all goals from all the areas of their lives, from relationships to losing weight to self-image, self-esteem and building confidence, and working on emotional intelligence as well, how to increase happiness and peace in their lives. So, yeah, that's what I...
And isn't it a bit sad that they're not already comfortable with these things, that they're not comfortable with their bodies, that they're not already happy?
No, most of people aren't. I believe if you look at the surveys which NHS would do, more than 70% of the women aren't happy how they look and how they are with their bodies. They all want to look like supermodels, not knowing the fact that being like a supermodel doesn't mean you will have happiness, peace and love in your life. It doesn't mean you will love yourself, even if you are, you know, a zero size or whatever they want.
So how should you work then? How should you work out what really needs to change in your life? You've given us a list of things there. You talked about body image, size, shape, all of that. Business goals. You may have goals about things that you want to achieve in your home. How do we actually know then, before we actually start to make these resolutions? Because a lot of us just make the same one every year. I want to lose some weight. How do we know what to go for then, Deborah?
I think it will be something that always keeps raising its head, or you'll say, oh, I need to get a new job, or, you know, I need to lose weight, it'll be something that always keeps coming up. It may be a relationship issue.
And is that something that you'd tell your client, or that your client had come to you with then?
The client always has the agenda. All I am there for is to help them, support them, bring out of them the answers by techniques, by tools, by being a sounding board, being there with, you know, empathy, support, and obviously it's very confidential.
Couldn't a good partner do all that, though?
I think sometimes, depending on what you want to talk about, it is good to step out of your own environment and actually talk about what is really the issue. You know, with someone else.
What do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, well, partners, I believe the main problem here is at school, no one teaches us how to increase happiness in life, how to increase peace in life or love in life, anything like this. Schools are only to make us, you know, useful for some jobs or businesses. But as we are emotional beings, our real need inside is high self-esteem, happiness, peace, and of course loving relationships, including self-love. No one teaches us that. So a partner could help up to some extent. I agree with Deborah as well. But no, you have to know how to do it. And it's the same question which someone just asked us. Yeah, why do we need to be told how to live their life? Well, no one tells us, which is why most people are running after money and they don't have it. Only few people are rich. Why? So if you don't know what you don't know, how would you do it? Same with happiness.
So could I make that a goal and say, right, I want to have more money in 2014? Would you dissuade your client from saying that then? Would you think that was a bad idea?
No, it's a good idea if you want to make more money, but then you have to take substantial steps to achieve that. So I would explore with my client, what's in your mind? How would you do that? Is there something? Would you work part-time extra or would you have a business? And is it really that? And then you see the competition as well, and then you see how you can make more money. Do you need to learn more skills to make more money to change your job to make more money? Or what's your priority and how much time are you going to give away from your family?
So we've talked about money. We've talked about losing weight. Can we talk a little bit about what Sue Inglidlis wants, which is basically to meet more people? I don't know if she's after a long-term relationship, if that's her goal, you know, the sort of long-term goal, but she said she wants to get out of the house more and meet more people. How would you start off with Sue then, Deborah?
Well, it sounds like Sue has decided that, you know, that's what she wants to do, so that's a great start. You know, she knows she wants to meet people. Again, why does she want to meet more people? You know, what does she want to get from meeting new people? Is she looking for a relationship, just friendship, companionship, just have a laugh and, you know, a great time in life.
Would that govern how she set her goals then to achieve that?
Well, yes. I mean, the the options would be, she could look at, you know, where am I going to look to find new people?
So, yeah, well, as she said, lots of different things needs to be specified and written down. What am I looking for? If it's business-related people, if she wants to meet like-minded people, there are networking groups all over Sheffield and South Yorkshire. If it's about dating, first of all, define what exactly, what the characteristics or the qualities she's looking for in a potential partner, and then where she can look for, and then how many dating websites or dating events is she going to make to every month or you know, every quarter. Everything needs to be specifically defined and written down and followed through to achieve the best results.
Have any of your clients come to you looking for a relationship then, Deborah?
I've had a client who sort of were a bit lost, didn't really know what they wanted, because I do get a client sometimes that say, I don't know what I want, all I know is it's not what I've got now.
Right, so and in a relationship,
like a blank, yeah,
what, in just, a relationship that they needed to,
yeah,
end then?
Basically, yeah, it's just sometimes, well, right, and then it's working out, well, what is it? What is the thing that is the issue? You know, is it something that can be resolved, can be sorted, or is it something that's not going to sort itself out? Is it time to move on? The answers, again, with coaching, and I think a lot of people don't realise the difference between coaching, counselling, therapy, mentoring, is, again, the client has always got the agenda, always got the answers. We don't give answers. It's us drawing it out of them. And sometimes it's a Poirot moment, as in...
A moustache.
Yeah, a bit. Oh, yeah, a bit. You know, I'm not very good at French. Oh, my God, I've been so stupid. Because the penny sometimes drops and think, well, why didn't I think of that?
Mm.
And for a coach, when that happens to your client, it's so wonderful. It's such a great feeling to think we're getting somewhere.
BBC Radio Sheffield. Deborah Cundy's with me. Maddie Mulhatra's with me. They're both life coaches. And it's your opportunity to take advantage of the fact that you don't, they're not going to charge you this afternoon if you talk to us on BBC Radio Sheffield. So if you've got a goal that you would like to achieve in 2014, take full advantage of this time. 81333 to text us. 0114 279 6699 to call us. And we're going to continue with talking about dating, if that's all right with you two, after Heather Small. Heather Small and Proud on BBC Radio Sheffield. You're listening to Paulette, and I've got Maddie Mulhatra and Deborah Cundy with me. They're both life coaches. I'm asking you to contact us if you've got a resolution or a goal. I think we prefer the word goal as far as the life coaches are concerned, that you would like to achieve in 2014. And what we're going to do is try to help you to do something to start that journey. Hate that word, but to start that process that's going to help you to be successful. Do you two hate that word journey as well, or is it just me? No, you're happy with the word journey.
I think journey is a nice thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me off with that then. So, this morning, if you're listening to Breakfast with Paul Walker, they were talking about dating, and because today, January the 2nd, is the best time to look online, and there's a growing trend for the over 55 to take to the web to find love. So would you try it? Well, Mick Lunny has been finding out.
Well, it could be all sorts of anyone, couldn't it? It could be anyone. I mean, he could turn up behind you.
Wouldn't that be a pleasant surprise for you?
No, definitely not, definitely not. I think I'd run a mile if he turned up behind me, or someone like that could turn up, so...
Most people, they say, are really honest when they put their profiles on.
Right. I suppose you can only find out by turning up, but, I mean, what's on picture and and what turns up might be two different things.
Others have been there, done it, got the T-shirt, and the T-shirt is, well, slightly soiled. You've had a go?
He's loads of fake people.
You've found out people
They're
are duds?
They're all fake. Everyone I've met up with are fake.
You're the only genuine
partners.
On there?
Well, yeah, I'm single. I'm single, so I won't be on there. But
how fake is fake? What do you mean by fake?
They're not single, most of them. They are on there just for one thing. They don't want a relationship. Half of them don't look anything like the profile pictures. Well, they might have done 20 years ago. Loads of dates, and not one was anything like the profile.
I've mentioned just online dating, and you've cracked out laughing. Why?
So I'm 22, and the only way... And it's not the only way you can find a man, but you can't just go and sit in a bar and meet somebody nowadays. It feels weird to sit in a bar and meet somebody, but online dating seems acceptable.
And how's it going for you?
There's a lot of perverts. A lot of older men that send you quite rude, disgusting messages. A lot of men seem to think, especially older men, seem to think it's acceptable to offer you money for things because they see you as a young, naive woman that's internet dating. I say me anything, there's good and bad.
Very interesting, isn't it? The range of experiences of internet dating. And today's supposed to be the date when a lot of people decide, I want to find love, I'm going online to do it, particularly for the over 55s. So, Maddie and Deborah are life coaches. Do people tend to set goals then for relationships at this time of year then? We'll start with you, Deborah.
I think, as I said earlier, people do start to reflect, they start to look on what they've got, what they'd like, what they haven't got out of the relationship. And I think it does sort of start opening ideas in the head. Well, what could I have? What could it be like? And then things either work out or become better in a relationship or, you know, start to fizzle out and people start looking elsewhere.
And when you say that people tend to look at their lives, how far back are they looking then, in your experience, Maddie? Do they look at this just the relationship that they had before the relationship they're in now or the relationship they're in now? How does it work from what you know?
No, that's true. People do look at, you know, the immediate past relationship and past relationships and make so many beliefs about relationships. And then they come, they want, they're looking for, you know, the perfect partner or the soulmate. However, there isn't a precise definition of what they're looking for. So that needs to come out. What are they looking for exactly? Is it just to hook up because they don't want to be lonely? Or is it they are looking for a quality relationship? Because there are some people who would only look for, you know, for a laugh or just for, because of they have been lonely for quite a few months or years, they just would go for anyone and then the relationship won't work. So it depends on individual why they're looking for and what they're looking for.
And what about this phrase, limiting beliefs, that a lot of life coaches tend to use? What does that mean?
Right, limiting beliefs are our self-beliefs, which we believe about ourselves. Say, for example, if you relate to dating or anything for confidence, that I am not good enough. That is the biggest belief which I would say 90% of the population has. I am not good enough or I'm not lovable. Or I think I would be rejected. So fear of rejection, fear of being judged, and thinking that I am not good enough are the two big reasons why we stop ourselves from moving forward in life.
And what do we do about that then?
Well, these beliefs actually do come from things like your parents, your childhood, at school. It could be something that you see in the media, religion. Example we said earlier in terms of people, women, especially you said, Maddie, women see the way they look in the body. They want to be like the supermodel that they see on TV. And this is everything that merges together to get this belief. Some of the beliefs are installed as a child that stay with you forever. An example, a personal experience, I came from a family that was quite big. So my belief was, that's where I am. That's where I'll always be. But the great thing about beliefs is you can change them. They're not there forever. And that's the most important thing that you can tell anybody.
Colin in Denneby sent us a text. He says, don't set yourself unrealistic targets. I need to lose 6 pounds. Should take 6 weeks. Job done. Is it as simple as that then, Maddie?
It can be as simple. But when you say realistic, that's a definition which depends on your self-beliefs. So if you have limiting beliefs, you would say, oh my God, 6 pounds in six weeks or 6 days. That's too much. I can only lose 2. For example. So that's your limiting belief. There are people who have done wonders, like Deborah has. She has lost like 12 stones, and it's possible, whereas there would be people who would say that seems impossible. So what is possible and what is realistic depends on our beliefs as well. I'm not saying everything is possible, but what I'm saying is we need to look into our limiting beliefs. Has anyone else achieved it, which I'm stopping myself from? So there would be people who have achieved it.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about in lots of different aspects of our lives. Thank you very much for joining us, Deborah Cundy. And let me make sure that I get your name right this time. Maddie Malotra. Thank you very much for joining us on BBC Radio
Thank
Sheffield.
You.
And we look forward to achieving our goals in 2014.
Definitely.
For once.
Thank you.
BBC Radio Sheffield. It's one of the